Oh shit. Blast that, Lee. It's Monday. You want to kick the fucking jams out. You want to get all this bad spirits out. It's Monday, January 28th. A beautiful fucking day to be alive. You know why? Because you're in this fucking world today. The Church of What's Happening Now. Mad Flavor, Joey Coco Diaz. My main man, the Flying Jew, Lee Syed. Hit that motherfucker, Lee. What?
Where's the boom boom? I like boom boom, Syed.
Listen, don't get carried away, right? Fucking train me on Monday morning. I'm trying to be anti-felony Monday free. Keep my peace. Oh shit, the Church, Monday morning. Give a shout out to all you bad motherfuckers out there in the struggle, getting up, drinking your coffee, you're at work already, you got your earphones on, you're fucking hitting digits, whatever the fuck you're doing, you're alive, cocksuckers, get it together.
Oh shit.
What's up, brother?
Not much. I'm feeling great,
man. I can't believe I was going to come over here and I thought you haven't taken a shower in 2 days. There was no football this weekend except for that fucking Shudru fucking...
I didn't even turn that on.
Pro Bowl. I mean, I turned it on for like 2 minutes. I told my wife, like, there's nothing on TV. Find something. I said, you know what? Turn on fucking television. The goddamn Pro Bowl. I turned it on for like 3 minutes. It was horrendously bad.
They've been talking about canceling it.
Yeah, it's just going to Hawaii. You know, they were half-ass tackling with defensive backs. What's his name? It's not for me. Once the team loses, it's over. Yeah. I don't give a fuck if I got to go to Hawaii. It's over. I don't want to play no more fucking football.
I'm not even sure if I'm going to watch a Super Bowl, to be honest.
What's the line right now on your little New England Ravens game?
New England lost. The Ravens and the Niners, let's check.
The who?
The Niners and the Ravens are playing.
I'm sorry, that's right.
What are you trying to make it hurt?
I'm sorry, I'm slipping.
San Francisco is -4.
Wow. Wow, down in New Orleans, the land of sugar, sugar. We're here. It's a beautiful Monday morning. Get up, get your coffee. You're alive, motherfucker. It's a beautiful day to be alive. I know you got plans. Write your goals down. Wash your balls. Powder that fucking monkey little pussy. Get your tits all perky. Put some cologne on them. Do whatever the fuck you got to do. It's Monday. Today's your second chance to get up and make it happen. Like me, I don't give a fuck. When I got up, the baby and the wife were awake already. She was crying. My wife, it's hysterical. She keeps her in that room. As soon as I get up, I get her. I bring her into the living room. I put that fucking TV on. I put the iPod. I was going to say Walkman. I still live in the fucking 80s. I put the iPod on. I put music on. And that kid, within 3 minutes, her arm is dropping. She's fucking tapping out. I go, honey, you got her in that room. You've been putting it in her head that she's got to go to sleep. Trick the fucking kid. You got out with these little motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, it's a beautiful... I want to be around. It's Mondays for my fucking mother, your mother, everybody. You want to be around a little jam out of respect. Oh, shit.
You have to write a child book after this.
You what?
You have to write a children's book, like a parenting book.
Come on now.
You gotta trick this motherfucker. Pick up the pieces.
When somebody breaks your heart. Nothing like a Monday morning to redeem yourself.
That's a good way to look at it.
You know, ladies, let's say you didn't suck a good cock on Saturday night. This is another, we got another week. Think about it, how you held it. You guys, you didn't eat that monkey. You didn't do the right fucking thing at that job interview. Guess what? You get another shot this week. It all starts today. So what? You didn't quit smoking? You quit fucking today. The diet, you ate a fucking peanut butter. Fat man alert! Fat man alert! I lost 2 fucking pounds.
That's great.
I'm trying. You know what? These fucking points, man. I think they change with the age. You know, I can't count. This new Weight Watchers point system is fucking killing me. Because I can't figure it out. I'm used to the old one. So in my mind, I got to go to the old one. But when I go to the meeting, they tell me, no. You know, I didn't count the fucking fruit never as points. I just didn't count it. For this morning, I had a nice protein, nice clean banana. I will not have any gas. I didn't think it was the protein shake last Monday that was giving me the gas. I think it's what I ate the night before. But I kept trying to go in my mind. I had like a salad. And that's what it is. Once get the salad mixed with the protein pie, that's like a fucking fuck the Koreans. What's coming out of my ass was pure nitrogen and shit. You
that was me? Awful.
What's that? Yeah, it was pretty awful. It was awful. I fought in the car on the way home. I had to, like, put all 4 windows. It was raining. I almost crashed into the Chinese guy next to me. Can you imagine crashing into a Chinese guy with his days going to be like a white dude crashing into me in this day and age? That's terrible. The Church of What's Happening. I had a great fucking weekend. The Flappers. Friday night was great. You know, on Wednesday, they called me like, you ain't selling tickets. I said, listen. These are the fucking church of what's happening now, people. They ain't got time to be going online and calling you. We live by the day. We don't fucking know. I'm going to call you 2 weeks in advance. Hey, I'm just letting you, when I put it on Twitter, I'm just letting you motherfuckers know I'm going to be there. I don't need you getting tickets and standing online like a fucking Momo. Just show up on Friday with both guns, a pipe. Somebody gave, some young man, he tweeted me and I didn't take his fucking name down. It was late. Some young guy gave me a fucking joint, Lee. Lee, I'm talking to y'all. It looked like a little shiv from prison.
Oh, shit.
It was this fucking thick all the way around. He had two different types of weed. He dipped it in hash oil, bazooka oil. He rubbed Jesus. It with this fucking weed coating and freeze-dried it. And it was hard and fucking... I'm going to show you the roach. The roach would scare most human beings.
Yeah.
It's this big. It's all crusty. It looks like a fucking fingernail with fungi in it. You know when it goes under... How's your fingernails? Your toenails? You all right?
They're great.
You got nice fingernails, cocksucker. Yeah, so I used to bite them. But then when I got my tooth fixed, fuck it. I don't bite them no more.
Oh, no, I haven't had that. But no, I took a shower before you got here.
You did wash that little monkey and everything?
I have to.
I like it, Julie. So you're learning. This is the church. These are the principles. You get up, you fucking feed the cats, you feed the dog, you fucking put an apple in your stomach to get your metabolism going, and you go in the shower, you wash those balls. Maybe you got to take a fucking dump. You take the dump and you go in the shower so you wash that ass good. You don't want to go out with rotten ass. You know what I'm saying? Even if you wash your ass before you go in the fucking shower, right?
Yeah.
And then you come out and you eat and then you take a shit. It's your shower, but you're not completely leaving. That ass has a little wang to it. So you might as well, that's why I eat that apple, walk around a little bit, get the testosterone, the stomach going. Then you go in the shitter, you drop a bomb. Then you go in and you wash your muffler good. You know, you're going to shower. And while you're in the shower, you got to take a shit. And that's a fucking thought process right there.
Oh, you have to get out.
Do you get out?
What are you going to do? You
never dumped right in the shower like a savage?
You took a shit in the shower?
I have, like one time or twice. What the fuck? You got to push it down the hole with your toe? It's like playing with fucking Play-Doh and stuff, dog. I swear to God. One time I got so sick in the shower, I got so drunk or something. In Moscow, Idaho, I'll never forget that. I was puking. And it was like what happened in San Francisco. I went to puke and a little turd came out. But this wasn't no little turd. This was like, and I was in mid-process. What are you going to do? Try to walk out with 4 inches coming out of your fucking muffler? Nobody's, you know, it would have fell out on the floor. Now I got to bend over, pick it up when you're hungover. It's not going to work out for you. I just let that motherfucker drop in the shower. After I stopped sweating, I look at that piece of shit. I was in that shower for like an hour, and nothing happened to that piece of shit. It held on for fucking dear life. I figured after an hour of water, it would like disintegrate.
It didn't?
No, I had to take like the shampoo bottle and push it down the hose like a fucking Play-Doh. I'm disgusting, but at least I'm being honest with you guys. Jesus. It's the church of what's happening on Monday. What do you want me to show up with? No fucking...
The worst I ever did was I went out drinking with a buddy, and the first time I blacked out, I got home... And apparently I didn't want to puke in the toilet. I puked in the tub, and I woke up the next day and didn't remember it. I called him, and I was about to blame him. And then I went back and looked, and it was the food I ate.
You could see, like, the cheeseburgers and the burritos.
It was beans from a burrito.
You nasty motherfucker. I got puked. That was the time I puked in the shower. I puked everywhere. And at that club at the time, this is when I was living in Seattle, on Wednesdays they would give you prairie farts. So they would make you drink tequila with Tabasco sauce in it.
Okay.
And while you were on stage, they would keep sending them to you. That's the first time I ever hallucinated on tequila. Like, I remember the fucking bathroom, the picture of the fucking, the picture of the horse in the hotel was just killing me. So, but that's it. That's all I fucking did this week. I was a little sick. You know, I did not, and I'll say this again. I had a great time at the Nerdist Studios, but it just felt out of my... patois. So if I was a little weird that day, people, or the podcast was a little off, it was me. I take all responsibility. I just wasn't, I don't like afternoon podcast. I don't like it by 4 o'clock. It was just too fucking late, you know?
Yeah.
I even sometimes when I do Joe's, that's why I'm so fucking aggravated. That's why Joe knows. I don't want to do it. I want to get this shit. I want to get to you motherfuckers early. I was telling somebody last week, somebody called me and said, why do you do your podcast early? Come to our studio, whatever. And I said, listen, let me tell you something. This is what pisses me off about society, straight up. I get up in the morning sometimes, you're in a great mood. You guys see me, I'm in a great mood when I'm listening to fucking the Foo Fighters.
Okay.
You know, Best of You, I'm getting high, I'm talking to my wife, I'm fucking around with you guys on Twitter, but my door would be open, and I would listen to the news. So while I was talking to you guys, you know, fucking around on Twitter, trying to write jokes, I'd be listening to the news. And you listen to the news, and the first 35 fucking minutes of the news, omitting the traffic, which is always bad in L.A., and the weather is all bad. It's either a teacher that molested a student, a shootout, three people who ran a red light and got killed by a drunk driver, you know, traffic jams on the 405 overnight. How many times have I called you and said, hey, man, Lee, have a great week? And you're like, Joey, I'm driving home from work. Avoid the 405. Remember the night you called me? You know, there's so much shit that happens in L.A. overnight. And you wake up to this as a normal fucking human being, a person who pays taxes, somebody who doesn't smoke pot, a God-fearing fucking American. You get up, you put the news on, you're getting your kids ready, and this is the shit you're listening to. After 35 minutes of listening to this negativity, because that's what I mean, that's real negativity.
Yeah.
You know, everything bad. The White House, GOP is going up against Obama. This is what you hear all fucking morning. And then at 10 to 7, they play the story about the blind fucking Chinese kid that can play the guitar with his toes or some shit. And, you know, so you go from one extreme of fucking fear to finally the last 10 minutes. So you leave your house with this whole thing at 35. They just, you ever go on the fucking thing on an app on your iPhone and look in the traffic?
Yeah.
And they're telling you they scare the shit out of your car. And then you get to the 405 and ain't nothing.
It's empty. I hate that.
Bro, just go for it. The same thing happens in life. That's why I don't listen to fucking people. It's like going home and sitting around your family and one day having the most brilliant fucking epiphany of your life. Like, you know what? I don't want to work at the law office no more as a clerk. I want a silkscreen shirt. You know, and your whole family turns on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they're like, what are you fucking crazy? You want to be a loser? What do you want to be, a hippie? It's the same thing with the fucking news in the morning. When I come on in here in the morning, listen, I mean, I'm not the best looking guy. Lee's no fucking model for Mad Magazine. We're not over here playing bongos barefoot, singing about positivity or whatever. But at least I'm trying to take you halfway there. I'm giving you two things. I'm showing you that, hey, I'm broke too. Me and fucking Lee, we're fighting for our lives here. And we're trying to make the best of what we got. We're smoking dope. You know, one fucking joint ain't going to kill you. But we're listening to music. We're talking about Tony Bennett, shit in the shower. You know, we're sending you out there going, Jesus Christ, you know. I got a shot. If fucking Joey Diaz was a sack of shit, got a shot, I got a fucking shot. It's funny because the other day some kid keeps harenting me that me and my friend, we think that your background, we heard you made it up. Why would somebody make up being a loser?
That's a good point.
What? If you're going to make a story up, you're going to make a story up about being on yachts in Miami with drug dealers and Tony Montana and 10 chicks. I've never talked about that shit. I've always told you about, I'm trying to write this book, Lee. And I read in this Steven Spielberg book that when you don't want to write about a subject, you should really write about it because maybe you don't want to talk about it. You know, I don't even know. I'm not fucking no smart guy. But maybe you don't want to talk about it underneath or something like that. So I was writing about my demise in 83, 84.
Okay.
When I went on a six-month loser tear. Like, all I wanted was $5,000, Lee, so I get my life together. Do you know how many times I had $5,000 that year? 20,000 times. I would snort it, put it in my nose, and then for a week I would cry on how I need a break, nobody loves me, the world's against me. What are you talking about, Joey? What the fuck are you talking? I think back about it now.
Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day. Someone actually asked me, like, do you, I don't know if regret's the right word, but you've done a lot of acting and comedy. Do you ever think, like, if you hadn't done the coke, like, you'd probably be living in the hills and stuff like that?
No.
Do you know anything about that? Yeah, I mean, there's no real point.
I think life had
a
path for me that I had to fucking work for it and get every inch I could. I'm like the Pittsburgh Steelers in 66. You know what I'm saying? I got to get every inch I get on the offense. We don't have the highest paid fucking offensive line. We don't have the fucking best receivers. Our defense is the lowest paid defense in the fucking league. Did you know that about the Pittsburgh Steelers? They're the lowest payroll. They're the cheapest fucking team in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But they give you everything we got. When players go up there, they give you everything they got. You know why? Because guys like my man, Pittsburgh J, they believe. Jack Lambert fucking believe. That's an American. You know, Jack Ham, those motherfuckers, you believe. You know what? You don't want to pay me my money? Well, I'm going to show you who the fuck I am. And they stayed. And that's what I am. I'm the guy, I got a claw for fucking everything. You know, I went to Miami in 84, and I went on this, and I went to, how can you make this shit up? I knew this guy. My mother and him had grown up and my father together, and I knew his kids. And I had gone to Miami, and a friend of a friend said he was looking for me, whatever, want to be friends again. It's the father.
Okay.
And I went down to the father's house, and my mother and stepfather, as I was growing up, always had this running joke. If Muñeco, that was his name, knocks on the door late, don't let him in. Like one night, I remember my mom would always wake me up at 20 after 3 when she'd get home from work and bring me food. And a couple, like one night she didn't wake me up. And I got up going to school like pissed off what happened to them. And I got up and my mom was passed out. My dad was passed out on the couch. And the next day when I got home from school, I called them. And I go, what happened to you guys? And they're like, oh, we let Muñeco into the barn. He kept us there all night. I didn't know what they were talking about. I was too young to understand. I was doing coke now in 84. And I didn't really know about paranoia. After doing cocaine for a few years, you go from having a great time, and it takes you into a complete different world of paranoia, where you lock your doors, you look out the window for hours, you crawl on the floor looking for coke rocks. You know, it's a complete different high. And by that time, you're addicted. It took me probably like 7 years to get to that level of cocaine, of the paranoia coming in. Where,
and were you doing it every day at that point? Like,
no, I was okay. Just doing lots of it. And it went from having a good time and watching TV and eating some chick's ass and just telling stories to crawling around a room and the chick's waiting there for you to fuck her and you don't want to fuck her because there's cops watching you. It's a horrible experience.
Yeah, it doesn't sound fun.
No, it's a horrible experience. And then you hide the cocaine or dump it. You know, it's just a horrible fucking experience. So, I was in Miami. I was 21 years old. I was trying to get my life in order. And this guy's a millionaire. And my friend says, he's looking for me. I go down there. He owns a furniture chain. But he's really a drug dealer. I had always known him as a drug dealer growing up. I knew his sons. I knew a lot of fucking people he was around. He wasn't like a heavy guy. And, we're over his house, and his son's with us. His wife's in the house, but she's on the other side. His house is fucking huge. And we're just chilling, right? We're just chilling out. And all of a sudden, he goes, you want to get high? I'll never forget this, Lee. I was 21. My nose was wide open. You know, I was looking to get in trouble. I was dying to be a coke dealer. I wanted to be a fucking kingpin. And I'm at this guy's house, and we're talking about him giving me ounces of coke to take up to New York, and me starting to sell coke and how we grew up together and he knew my father and my mother and my mother would be heartbroken, but if this is what I want to do. And all of a sudden he goes, listen, you want to get high? So here's this 50-year-old guy, me and his son, and we're starting to get high, and all of a sudden the dad leaves for like 20 minutes and the son looks at me and he goes, well, it looks like it's that time of the night, you know, I'm going to bed. He goes, you deal with him. I'm like, what are you talking about? Father comes back with a margarine tub like he bought from Costco. This is 1984. They used to have this margarine tubs that were pretty big. He took the lid off it and he took all the margarine out. This was his own personal thing. He had done it before. It was filled with water. He had a dish in there and he had cocaine in there. And he would walk around the house with a gun and his boxer shorts and flippers on, right? And he'd just walk around the house. So there I am watching TV, listening to fucking music. And it's like, we started snorting like at 9, and it's about midnight, and this guy comes in with like a white beater with the boxer shorts, the 45 or the 38, whatever he had, this tub of margarine with a floating dish of water in it, so if the cops come, he could take the dish and dump the cocaine in the water and dump the water. It's holy craziness, shit. Guys. I'm sitting there going, what the? This is like how that scene of Boogie Nights. So he sits down. Meanwhile, he's got another fucking like baggie that he's walking around with. And he's dumping that and we're doing it. And he would leave the coke and get up to do a search around the house. And I would take coke rocks from him. Like little coke rocks. So here I am stealing his coke. We're doing it. You know, he's walking around naked, whatever. Not naked, but with the boxer shorts, with the gun in his hand. And he's snorting a line, and he would point the gun at you while he was snorting. You know, he'd go, okay. And you like, move the gun. You're like, Jesus fucking Christ. I mean, this went on.
That's all I was thinking about. That would petrify me.
You have no idea, Lee. So, you know, and here I am. You know, I've never even talked about this shit because this shit comes out as I'm writing. I'm like, oh, my God. And finally, like 5, 6 in the morning, after his wife tries to calm him down, because he wakes everybody up. He's in your room all night looking under beds and in closets. It was fucking a nightmare. He would come in and like be scared of me, and he'd look under my couch. You can't fit a human under the couch. So finally, I'm in the one room. I'm in the same room, and he's somewhere, and all of a sudden I hear, bam! The fucking gun goes off, and he shoots himself. Now, listen, I don't know about your house or my house, or somebody where you people live. In a normal house, when somebody shoots themselves, right, the gun goes off, people come up. Nobody got up. He's like, I go in and you can see the son like putting his pants on, like, did he fucking shoot himself? And I'm like, dog, call the ambulance. He's like, nah. We got a doctor up the road. He goes, he's shot himself like 4 times in the last 5 fucking years. Look at his feet. I didn't even notice it. So I'm like, what do you want me to do? And they're like, listen, we'll give you like a couple hundred. Just go to a hotel down the road and come back in 2 days. This is how crazy this was. Like, what do you tell these fucking stories to? And I remember being so happy because I checked into like a $39.99 hotel and they had given me like 300 cash and I had like 8 grams of coke. And to me, that was everything I ever needed in my life. I got that feeling. And I remember it being in that room that like it was a Sunday night and going into Monday morning. I remember being awake at like 8 in the morning thinking about what was my next fucking move in life. Here I am snorting coke, like a case of beer, and this guy just shot himself. And that's my fucking life. You can't make that shit up. I forgot all about that shit.
And
I never heard from him again or the family or nothing.
Of course not. But that, see, for someone who hasn't done it, like, to me, if I, like, if I ever did that, like, let's say you came over, we smoked weed for the, and you were walking around with a gun, I wouldn't want to smoke weed again.
Not like, me neither.
But that's what I'm saying.
So I don't even like people around me with guns. When I see cops, I get fucking nervous.
But you did coke again after that. So like,
yeah, oh, for 25 fucking years.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, if I was doing coke and I saw someone on coke fucking walking around shooting themselves, I'd be like, all right, that's something not to do. Or the addiction's just so bad, you're like, well, fuck it.
Hey, listen, anybody who's been addicted on anything, whether it's pills, you know, what catches us is when we catch ourselves doing the weirdest fucking things. You know, it could be from sleeping around for women to stealing money to supply. You know when you're fucking up with the blow. You know, I mean, I got locked up and still didn't stop snorting. I mean, you have to want to do it on your own, whether it's pills, the weed, the booze. You're going to have to do it. You know, you can only kick yourself in the ass that many times. You know, and after I saw that, years later is when I went into that paranoia fucking mode.
Okay.
That went on. That started in 87, and it didn't go away until 2005 when I stopped doing blow. It never went away. Wow. I could do it. I could do blow for an hour or two, alcohol, and drink with it. Once I got into my head, it was all over. I was walking from curtain to curtain. I'd have to do it all in one shot because I didn't want the cops to come over and me have it at the house. It was fucking amazing. That's how you kill yourself. You do it all. You know, you do the whole fucking bag.
Yeah.
So I'm fucking lucky. A little music. Let's lighten this motherfucker up before the fucking first call. All right. What's going on, Lee? Oh, shit. Little Peter Gabriel in the fucking house. Mm-mm. Lee, you gonna smoke some of this? You gonna leave me here like an orphan with red head?
I've been smoking. We had you on fire already. Watching. Be careful.
It's Monday morning. Get up, motherfuckers. It's a beautiful day to be alive. Blast it, Lee. Hey, he kicked the habit too. Shed my skin. Oh, shit. This is the new stuff. Don't Lee, hit it, Uncle Chuck. Little wiggle pop. Come on. Oh, shit. It's Monday, cocksucker. Wash that pussy. They mean business out there today. They ain't fucking around. Show for me. Show for you. What are you fucking nuts?
I'm way too high for this music video.
Oh, the video's amazing.
It's stop motion with him and like 8 black women and just running around with a TV. It's fucking weird.
Put this on loudly. Listen to this motherfucker sing. Peter Gabriel used to be with a band called Genesis.
Okay.
And when he left, fucking Peter Gabriel, not Peter Gabriel, whatever his name is, you know, the guy that sings, Phil Collins, like in the air tonight took over, and then Phil Collins went solo. But these motherfuckers were savages. If you don't know nothing about early Genesis, or even Genesis with Phil Collins, I put it on, and the new Pepsi generation don't dig it, and I understand you. To me, it's like putting fucking doo-wop on. I don't know what they're talking about either, but you listen to fucking Genesis, the early Genesis with Peter Gabriel, and you're going to hear some shit that you hear today, and you're going to go, oh, that's where they fucking got it. That's right, cocksuckers, because that's how we're doing it here. Drop it on you motherfuckers on a beautiful Monday morning. What time is it, Lisa? Let me give a shout out to these to these fucking savages, to they always, to my man in Chicago, Mikey Kern, Chris the Legal Courier, Jacob Valdez, Rhino 87, Brian Grassman, Anthony Paro, Andrew Zimmerman, and Jeezy looking good like a motherfucker. Dead Scott, Connecticut, I'm doing your podcast this week. Tank Satches, I'm also doing Mitch Nutter's podcast this week.
Oh, great.
Hiding from my motherfucking wife in the basement. Mitch Nutter's a soldier. He had me worried. You know, Mitch Nutter's fucking crazy.
What'd he do?
He's just a crazy fuck. When I seen him in Chicago, I could tell Mitch Nutter's shot a couple motherfuckers. He knows where the bodies are buried. You follow me? He gives you that look. You know, some people give you a look, and you know that look. It's as good as a fucking nod to a blind savagely. Lee, I'm going to Columbus, Ohio this week. I'm going to freeze my ass off, but I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. You understand me?
Do you like Columbus?
I love Ohio. Okay. I'm a fucking, remember, I grew up a Cincinnati motherfucking Red fan with Pete Rose. You see Pete Rose got a reality show. He's married to that Chinese woman. Didn't. Dog, let me tell you something. I'm sorry, Cincinnati. I'm fucking sorry. Listen, I don't even mind the gambling. I wasn't pissed at Pete because of the gambling. The Hall of Fame is great, but fuck it. We all know the damage Pete Rose did. The Hall of Fame is just, you know, whatever. Pete Rose was a bad motherfucker, kids. And if you don't think so, you go on YouTube and you watch. Listen, the other day I watched the greats. I was watching Law and Order, and some dude came in with a Spanish cop. The main guy, the white dude, came in with the Spanish guy, Benjamin Bratt.
Okay.
And the fucking the Italian guy, the Jew behind the counter, is like, I don't like Spicks in my fucking place. I nearly lost it. Benjamin Bratt looked at him like, what'd you say? He goes, I think you're all worthless except at Roberto Clemente. For a prejudiced person to, like, discount the whole race and just...
just Roberto Clemente.
For a baseball... And you know what? Trust me, there's a lot of people who think that way. But Roberto Clemente was a bad motherfucker. But Pete Rose got a reality show. It killed me. It fucking killed me. But listen...
He must not be able to make money anymore.
Well, I used to work in the sports betting service. My number one action was people from Ohio and people from Mississippi.
Real Mississippi?
It's amazing how much fucking people. And those are the people I sold action to. And those are the people that last. I had a high school football coach from somewhere in fucking the sticks in Ohio that this guy was betting fucking $50,000 a game. I remember him sending me like $200,000 in 6 months. He was betting. He's a high school football coach. Amazing. Those people know how to fucking party in Ohio. I've never had a problem with Ohio people. I've been to Ohio State game 20 years ago to see the really good running back. I mean, I'm excited. I don't give a fuck about the cold weather. I got reefer waiting for me. I know people coming up from Kentucky and people coming up from Michigan bringing fucking pounds and shit.
Oh, shit.
Oh, there's going to be more fucking reefer in Columbus on Friday and Saturday night than you've seen in years. Stoner shirts, deadheads. I don't give a fuck. Come up. Put the patchouli juice on that fucking pussy, ladies. There will be some studs there. I'm not even talking about me. I'm dead. I'm done. I'm done with fucking sex after this situation with the kid.
Oh, are you gonna get a vasectomy?
No, I'm just done. Who needs a vasectomy? Bro, I barely got a fucking pregnant. Trust me, that'll never happen again where all those sperm cells come together like that.
This is the last hurrah.
I was the last fucking hurrah. My sperm will never get together. That was the luckiest day my sperm sack ever seen in its life.
Jesus.
It's fucking life. I must have drank Jägermeister. What's the alcohol with the gold bits in it?
Goldschläger.
Do they still make that?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Me neither. I think one's gold went
up. It's cinnamon, though. I don't like it. The cinnamon flavored. It wasn't my favorite.
I got fucked up on Goldschläger sometimes. But I remember gold is like 800, right? How much is gold an ounce now? It's got to be up there.
It must be up there.
It's up there, so it's
got
to be.
You got somebody calling in.
What's the story, brother?
Hey, good morning, brother. How's everything?
You know me, trying to put the fucking pieces together on a Monday morning. How's the weather all by you?
It's snowing right now.
Heavy or light?
Light right now.
Yeah, that's the fucking East Coast, brother. January and February is misery. You're going into the misery season now.
I know. It's very like everyone hibernates down here by the shore. It's like dead down here completely.
How are the bars?
I don't know. I don't even go to the bars, to be honest. I stay away from that.
But when you drive by at night, do you see people hanging out or nah?
Yeah, it's very little. You know, there's like a lot of go-go bars around here. And sometimes, like on Fridays, if you drive by, there's some, but not much, to be honest with you.
On the line is my man Gary Bowe. We had him on a couple weeks ago when he was... freshly released from the penitentiary. I've known Gary since he was a young man. A lot of guys emailed me and wanted to have Gary back on the show to see how you were doing and how you were coming along. What's been going on?
Yeah, he's still taking it slow, Coco, to be honest with you. Everything is still new to me. It don't happen overnight, you know, working part-time, but then throat got cut with that. You know, it's a lot of hating, a lot of greed. I ain't in position to call any shots at the moment, you know. It's just the way it goes around here. It's a dirty game. I know it, you know. I ain't hating. I'm new to the field right now, coming out all these years, and I ain't trying to step on other people's toes. And I got to work with what I got in the meantime. The last thing I want is a beef right now.
No. At least you're out there, man. How long were you locked up for again, Gary?
21 years.
Jesus fucking Christ. So, yeah, you got something coming to you, and you just got to keep your head on tight. And you sound great still. Like I told you yesterday, you sound dynamic on the fucking phone.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, I got to stay positive. I got to, for my own sanity. You know, it ain't easy. I'm not going to lie, Coco. I have my bad days a lot. You know, it's like, you know, am I going to make it out here? Am I set up to fail? I don't know. You know, it always crosses my mind. You know.
You know, after the last time, I'm sorry, go ahead.
How am I going to provide and stuff? And I don't want to leech off people. You know, they're only going to give you so many handouts, and you got to earn your own way in this world. You know, I just need a little bit of a door open for me.
Let me explain something to you. When I got locked up, the thing that saved me was that the last sentence from the judge or the probation, you know how you have to go to a probation office and she makes her review of what's going to happen? She wrote that that if they threw me in jail, the case of recidivism would be low, which means that the percentage of me going back would be low if they taught me a lesson for having the machine gun. After we had our conversation, I went online and tried to find statistics on people that have gone to prison and the percentages after years. Remember, after 4 or 5 years, Gary, a lot of guys just say, fuck it, this is my life. Even if they let me out, what am I going to do on the outs? So I checked it from that way, from the FBI numbers and stuff like that. Gary, every day that you stay out after 21 years, you have no idea how you're overcoming the odds. Every fucking day.
Yeah, they say, I haven't even been out 3 months, Coco. You know, and they say, you know, you stay out a year, the odds of going back and swimming. I tell you, man, I'm not trying to go back. I'm not going to be honest. I do feel I'm going all the way if I ever did it again. And I'm going to let them take me alive, to be honest. I'm going to be straightforward. I do feel I'm going all the way, they can blast me. I ain't going back. And that's the truth of the matter. If I do something, I know the consequences. You know, I die. It is what it is. At least, you know, I went for what I believed in. But, you know, I don't want to go to that point. I don't. But if I did, I'd go all the way. Fuck it.
But you know what, I don't want you to go back, and I don't want to have this conversation with you because I love you, and I believe in my heart you're going to stay out, and you're going to do fucking good things. It's just, listen, it's tough for the common fucking white guy that goes to college and pays taxes today. And I'm not being prejudiced here. I'm sorry if the conversation offends some people. The fucking white guy that had his mom, her name is Mary, and the father's name is Chuck, and they both went to the school fucking barbecue, and they lived their life to the fullest. If you go to college today and you come out and you're a white kid in this country, it's fucking tough out there for you. Can you imagine a white kid, 40 years old, after being locked up for 20 years? So you can't give up. We got to make a point together. You can't give up. Gary, I had the odds against me. I had no family. I had no reason to live. Because when you have no family, you really have nobody to fucking live for. You have nobody to impress. You have nobody to fucking get a pat in the back or a hug from. And, you know, Gary, at one point, I wanted to stay out for me to prove a point to North Bergen. To prove a point to those dickheads, because you know those dickheads, once they get this, half of North Bergen is like us, we're bad motherfuckers and we're camaraderie motherfuckers, but the other side sold their fucking life for a political job or whatever the fuck they're doing, and they'll twit, you know, if they get busted, they're turning on everybody at fucking Harpo's and everybody, and you know that. So what, I robbed some fucking houses or whatever as a kid and some drug dealers, I got out of there. and I'm not a millionaire and I'm not on TV, but that doesn't make a man. Just that we're still walking and fucking moving around. That's what makes a fucking man, Gary. And you're halfway there. So the criminal aspect of this, we're going to do what we can to keep you the fuck out. Where do you live, Gary?
I'm staying down in Keensburg, New Jersey. With my brother and my mom down here.
If anybody's listening to this podcast from down in South Jersey, especially close to Kingsburg, that has a job for Gary, fucking going out 40 hours a week, picking up park benches, whatever, collecting, whatever the fuck you got, hit me up on fucking Twitter. We'll make you the star of the goddamn week. And this kid's not looking for a handout. He's just looking for a job to get him on his fucking way. I know what the feeling's like, Gary. Gary, even if I had $20,000 and sent it to you, you wouldn't feel good. Do you know what I'm saying?
Nah, it's like it's a handout, a scrub. You know, you got to earn your own way. You know, I just need a little bit of a door to be open, you know?
You're an intelligent guy. You know, I'm going to look around and see what the fuck's going on down there. Because my buddy, the one who's on the call, he just did, I don't know if you remember, in West New York in like 88, maybe 90, this guy from West New York got caught throwing coke bales out of a fucking plane, and they caught him, and they played the video on ABC News, and they spoke about him on the Joe Rogan podcast, and he got out after 20 years, and he's living in Newark, and he told me that it took him like 6 months to get a job, but he finally went to an interview, and he just broke down to the lady and told her the truth, that he had been locked up, and he wanted a second chance, and he's working at a hospital. He's like a union fucking janitor, but you know what? He's making 17, 16 an hour or something. And Gary, that ain't nothing to fucking shy from.
Nah, you know, I'd be more than content with anything, to be honest with you.
Yeah, a little insurance, a little whatever, you fucking twist some nuts, you clean a toilet. But you know, Gary, you ain't carrying a gun and no man's kicking your bed at 5 in the morning telling you to wake the fuck up. And that's the most important thing as a fucking man.
I hated that shit. I hated being subject to that, all that shit. Like, even when I got sick last week, and, you know, I'm trying to go to the community health center, they tell me to go there. I go there, they're like, oh, we can't help you, this and that. I said, listen, I just came home, you know, I have an infection in my lungs, I have asthma, I have the flu, you know, I had a high fever, and they're like, we can't help you. I'm like, how can you not help me? You know, you're supposed to help me. She's like, well, we can't help you. So, you know, I had to go to the freaking hospital. At least they helped me, and Bayshore down here, they helped me real good. And took care of me, gave me the prescription for my asthma, for prednisone, and gave me antibiotics to get the infection out. So I was walking around with it for over a week, and no one wanted to help. No medical facility around. And I'm just grateful that the hospital took care of me. And, it's messed up. You know, because I come out, and I'm still, you know, state property, I'm federal property, you know. Technically, I belong to them, so you're supposed to take care of me. It ain't like they ain't going to not write you a check to take care of the bill.
That's fucking amazing.
Just something like that.
But you're good, man. You sound fucking good, and, you know, Gary, it's so weird how you're 40, you're 41. And
43 now.
43, and I got to tell you, man, you got the world by the balls. And you don't even know it because you got the bad part of your life out of the way. The good part's about to come. If you live to 60, you're going to have 27 good years of a good life. When it matters. Because who gives a fuck when you're a kid? You're a fucking idiot anyway. When I was a kid, I was a fucking moron anyway, like the rest of us that are going, Lee, wake up, cocksucker, the flying Jew. I get him a little high. He's over there nodding on me and shit, looking at me with open eyes. Did you get some sleep last night?
No, but I'm up. I'm looking at you.
Right. You got any questions for my little brother here?
No, dude, I'm glad he's doing better.
You're learning from him? Yeah. Fuck yeah. No. You know, that's it. You got the bad part of your life out of the fucking way. It can only be good after this. It's only up to you. You can't go back, you know?
And yeah, I don't want to go back, man. I don't want to. I really don't. I tell you, man, I ain't going to take me back. Fuck that. Being subject like that all those years.
21 you know fucking years.
All those freaking pedophiles and child molesters go home left and right. That's what makes you bitter. You know, and they get like more opportunities than the average guy coming home. That makes me bitter. I'm not going to lie. I see it all the time. It does. How's any roles going on with you over there?
Yeah, I got a movie I'm going to shoot in New Orleans starting in March. It's a movie called Grudge Match with Kevin Hart and De Niro and a bunch of people. But besides that...
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's been quiet, man. It's been quiet, and I've been working on my stand-up. I start traveling this week, and the kid's good, and the The wife's good and they're all healthy. You know, where I came from, bro. You knew, you saw me at 21. I was a fucking mess. So right now I'm dealing with my wife and I see this kid and I think of my life and, oh my God, it's like every sin I had got taken away. Like, that's what this kid did for me, but not really. But it's two different worlds. I'm walking around in like a fucking dream because I've never had this utopia. You know?
Hey, how did you get into the trying to get into the acting shit?
How did I get into it?
Yeah. How did you get in? You know, I didn't try that. I'll do that too. You know, see what I can do.
If I told you how I got in, it was luck. But it was my effort. Like, I never thought about being an actor. I'm like you. I used to go to the Union City Cinema and watch Charles Bronson movies and go to Sea Caucus and watch movies and giggle. I used to go down. Remember, we used to go to the Showboat and to the Mayfair Theater,
it's
correct?
Still there.
The Showboat's still there?
Yeah, the Binghamton's still there.
The Binghamton's still there.
Mayflower ain't there no more.
I remember going down there and sucking some pussy, and there was rats under the fucking car. Rattling down there and shit, and my Fernie Basulto had a hole in his Nova, and the rats would climb into his fucking Nova guy while he was down there getting head. It was disgusting down there. And then you had the Mayfair Theater. That's where I seen Carrie for the first time. I seen American Gigolo in that motherfucker. I seen I seen a couple movies up there. But you know, Gary, it was lucky. I came out here starving. I started doing stand-up to stand-up. And all of a sudden, I got a manager who said, I got to turn you into an actor. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? I took performing arts at North Bergen High, my freshman year intro, and that was it. That was it. I never took no other fucking classes. So I...
How do you get an agent and stuff?
You know what? When you're a comic, it makes it a lot easier than just walking. You know, when you're a comic and you're 30... Remember, I looked like I was 50 when I was 20. You know, when I was, I look at my baby, everybody keeps looking at my baby going, that baby looks a lot older. Yeah, because she's my fucking kid. She already looks like she's 2 months fucking old. You know, I looked old. My soul was fucking old from day one. So I was 30-something when I came out here and no agency, coming off nothing, no money. And a manager picked me up and he submitted me for a couple roles. And I got in there and I booked a movie called Basketball. That's the first time I ever worked. I didn't even know what cut was. I didn't even know what action was or it's cut or when they were talking about standing on your lines and hitting your lines. I knew nothing, Gary. And the next thing you know, I was in the fucking Screen Actors Guild. You know, I've been in the Screen Actors Guild now, Gary, for 15 fucking years. You know how many unions I paid to get into when I lived in North Bergen? I'm still in the Longshoremen's Union. I'm in the Bartenders Union. I'm in the Electricians Union in Colorado. I'm in more fucking unions than Jimmy Hoffa. But the only union that I earned was this shit. And you know what, man? I don't know where you're living or whatever. I could turn you on to it. Let me tell you something, man. If I sell a book or I get on a TV show, Gary, the first person I'm fucking sending money to and helping out is you. I want you out here with me. Because together we could write a fucking story that would make these fuck Brad Pitt and fuck all these dumbass fucking movies. You and I could put together a story.
Man, I lived it. I lived that Point Break lifestyle. Straight up.
Point Break lifestyle. Jesus Christ. I couldn't even imagine robbing a fucking bank.
And 10 times more intense.
Oh my God. Tell you that. I couldn't imagine robbing a fucking bank with a weapon.
Man, it was what a thrill to take over this, man. Tell you, I got off on it. I'm not going to lie, man. That was just all I knew is what to do. It's like there's not a thing that I can't see and know how to penetrate and take down if I wanted to. You know, and I just got to block those thoughts out. Nah, Gary. Because, you know, you can do it, you got to go all the way. You know, I see all the stuff. I see the armored cars. And, you know, I already see all their weak points. I know everything to penetrate. It's ridiculous. And I could put it all in the script if I really wanted to, how to really do it.
It's amazing when you see a place and you can break down the security of it and you know exactly how we'd get into it. Like, I look at places now and I go, I pity you motherfuckers 30 years ago. I would have robbed you motherfuckers blind just by your setup. I could walk into a place and know just by, I see people walk away. I see so many holes in their games. You know, for years, I was the greasiest thief. I used to go to Fort Lee, Gary, with a suit on, and I would go into office building and rob purses. And little bank accounts that people would have in their offices. I'd make $3,000-$4,000 a day in a building on one fucking floor. And they wouldn't even know. You know how many times I walked into an office and the receptionist would go to the fucking bathroom and leave the deposit bag on the fucking office table? You know how many times
yeah,
I found
deposit boxes, yeah.
You know how many fucking times I found $3,000 in an envelope on top of an office just walking in? And as I'm walking out, the lady's coming up to me going, "What were you doing there?" "I'm looking for Henry, wrong office." And I leave, run out of the fucking building. I saw it 1,000 times. A fucking idiot can't make a living today. Well, today you got cameras everywhere. That's the problem. That's the difference, Gary.
Those are things, you know, gotta be penetrated. Yeah, I saw all that stuff. That's the first thing you do is your recon.
Let me tell you something. The first thing,
your escape route, everything.
Oh my God! I tell you what petrifies me. There's nothing that scares me more when I see one of those trucks, one of those bank trucks. I get petrified, yeah. Lee. Petrified. I fucking avoid those things like the plague.
Why?
Because I know somebody's looking at it to shoot that motherfucking thing. Because if you think like me, if you're a real old school Jew and you're driving and you see a fucking armored car, first thing you think about is that could be my lucky day or that could be my unlucky day. You know, you ever hear the stories that the door opens up and a bunch of $100 bills come out of those things? You read about those stories that by mistake, that's the last thing I want to be in. You know what I'm saying? Unless a big envelope flies out, I'll fucking grab that thing. But trust me, they'll be in your house within 3 fucking days.
Oh, yeah.
The feds will have a satellite somewhere in the area. They will be in your house within 3 days. That's when you'll find out how they are watching you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
They got all that latest technology probably in every bag now with tracking device and all that. But you got to know, they got to activate that first, GPS, and that takes a whole hour for them to go through it. They need the bank president to punch in the code, you know, so by then you can be long gone and get rid of everything. That's how they operate.
I never even thought ever. Once I heard that you had stuck in the wire into the Knights of Security thing and went to Hawaii that time, I always thought about that. Like, that was fucking genius. That you just went, and that's how simple it was. Am I lying? You took a fishing wire and put it down a night security thing and took out how much out of that motherfucker?
It was thousands at that time. Easily.
That's amazing. Thousands. Somebody be that fucking
Everything could be penetrated. There's a solution to every problem, and there's an answer to every question. Whatever. No matter how safe you think it is, it can always be penetrated. And that's a fact. Anything. Any security system, anything. You just gotta look, analyze it. You might not get it right away, but you will eventually. You'll see its weak points. That's in anything in life.
Remember, who was that drug dealer that everybody was trying to rob in North Bergen? Didn't you get this suitcase one time? He put it by the fucking window.
Nicky DeLucia.
That fucking guy's on Facebook, that cocksucker. The Hawaiian.
He looks like a sheepdog.
He was making a lot of fucking money when we were kids. He was.
Yeah, he always did. He always did his hustle. He always knew how to make money. But he wasn't built like that, you know. Like, he wasn't worthy. You know, if you're gonna do your thing, you better have a strong crew around you, because you'd be pushed up on real quick. And you know, you're gonna pay a tax, and that's a fact. Especially if you got no backing. That's bad.
I'm surprised he never did pay a tax. Bad. That guy.
Nah,
somebody never taxed him at all, and he was like a little fucking pussy. He was part of that Hashway crew up there that thought they were cute, and they would giggle, and they were, remember him, and he had the buddy with the glasses that they would, thought they were cute because they were doing something with cars, with the registrations. The guy ended up owing Veneri a bunch of money. I forget what his fucking name was. I couldn't stand those Veneri, motherfuckers. I love Veneri. That's my brother.
In North Bergen.
What's that?
Veneri's going to be the next mayor.
That's
North
the
Bergen.
Word on the street, that our little brother Veneri's going to be. And that, listen, when I left North Bergen, I left because I thought Veneri would be the mayor in 10 years. And once Veneri becomes mayor, I stopped doing comedy. I become his driver for a year. That's what nobody knows. Once Veneri becomes mayor, I got that job locked up already. I told him this, that I would fucking go on the New York Times bestseller writing a story about that cocksucker we used to do when we were kids. So as soon as Anthony Veneri becomes mayor of North Bergen, guys, I'm done with podcasting and traveling and doing these fucking stupid jokes. You motherfuckers are on your own. You better get it together, because if he does become mayor, because they're going to yank Sacco out of there. You know, I paid my fucking dues, people. Don't even look at me weird like you're going to jump on the bandwagon. Fuck you. I hung with that motherfucker since he was 15 till he was about 25. And I had my hands full with fucking Veneri as a kid. And I loved him, and he took care of me. He fucking took care of me. But I had my hands full with
I always
that
liked him.
I always loved Anthony.
He's always a good kid.
Always fucking really good was. Kid. I would be so proud if he became mayor of North Bergen, just because between you and me, you know what? He's a funny. He called me the other night from Rudy's. He was at Rudy's eating dinner. He just called me out of the fucking blue. And he's like, what's going on? I'm over here. There's a Spanish fucking waitress. And why do you say eat her pussy in Spanish or whatever? He's I love Anthony a lot, man. I love you too, man. I'm happy that you're out. I'm happy that we got a chance to talk and that you call. Who would have known when I was getting off the plane with those guns that 30 years later you and I would be doing a podcast in Los Angeles, California, brother?
Hey, things have a way of working themselves out, you know, for the better, and that's how you got to look at it. And, you know, so those days, you know, a lot of those days were real good days. You know, it's just the bad part was going down eventually. But I can't say that I didn't enjoy those days. They were adventurous. They were exciting. It was the risk. I actually enjoyed it. I'm not going to lie. In front, it was the thrill of getting over.
Oh, it's so
and
much.
I loved it.
It's so it much was. Fun to
it's
wake up.
A rush. You know, it can't be explained. It can only be experienced how it felt.
I can't remember robbing a house down by Five Corners. Remember Five Corners down there?
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember that there was little projects there, those little projects across from. There was like a bank there. There was a lot of shit happening in Five Corners. I took Lee down to Five Corners. Charlie Gizzy and his brother killed somebody down there. But there was those little projects there since I was a kid. And Patrick DiLorenzo used to live over there. He was the first big coke dealer. He used to sell to Krugs and all those fucking people. And oh my God, I snorted coke in 20 of those little fucking project apartments when I was a kid. And I remember I would tell people the night before, like, pick me up tomorrow at 9 o'clock. We're gonna go rob a house. And they would take me to you know, they would pick me up, and I'd be with my back against the wall. So I remember going down there one time to rob a fucking house. Oh my God, that place down there. And I remember getting back in the car and thinking, feeling my heart beating. If you've never robbed, like before, when you do something bad, if you ever watch The Godfather, this is why I love The Godfather so much, because right before Michael is about to shoot Sollozzo, you hear the train. You hear a train, and you hear those screeches. That's what you hear when before you do something bad, Gary. You go fucking deaf. Your adrenaline, your dick gets so hard that you go fucking deaf, that the blood leaves your head and goes to your cock when you do something bad. Whether it's putting a gun to somebody's head and telling them to shut the fuck up, this is your fucking room, cocksucker, or just, you know, or get on the fucking floor, or put those fucking handcuffs on, motherfucker, put the fucking blow on the table, or even remember you just drive me to the airport, me getting on a plane with 12 ounces of blow, used to get my dick so hard. Explain to these people that angle of it. It's like, for me now, I have comedy that gets my dick hard. And coming on the show with Lee and yelling and screaming, do you remember how hard your dick would get before you did something bad?
Yeah, you know, you just want to do it. You want to get it over with because you got the knots in your stomach. You just want to, it's just like a mission, you know. You got the military do the special forces mission. It's an objective. You got to reach it, and you got to accomplish it. And once you accomplish it, there's no greater feeling in the world, you know. It's a rush you really can't explain. You really got to experience, especially when I was doing the heists and stuff and counting all the money and go to a safe house and count up all the dough and split it. There's no greater high because you plan it, and you know anybody can plan something out, anybody. But if you don't got the heart to do it, it's senseless. You know, you got to have the courage to do it. You
got to
be brave.
Oh. You know, I miss that shit, but I don't. I miss that shit, but I don't. I'm going to give you a call when I get home. I love you, brother. Thank you for calling in today, and we're happy that you're doing great, and we're happy that you still got that fucking fire in your heart. Now you just got to flip it apart and figure out what the fuck you want to do, man. Figure out what you want to do, Gary, and get back to me, please. Figure out what you really want to do.
Absolutely, bro. I love you, Coco.
I love you too, man. Have a great day and a great fucking week, and I'll call you when I get home. And I want you to really figure out what you want to do, and we'll put something together, man, all right?
Absolutely, brother. You take care, all right?
I love you, man. Stay black.
Stay white.
Bye. What's up, cocksucker?
Nothing. Fucking, it blows my mind because it's the furthest thing from my world. just oh, listening
it is. To them. And it's the furthest thing from a lot of people's world. And that's why I put the kid on the podcast, because your life could change that fast. Like that kid, when he was around at 14 with those weapons, me bringing weapons to his brother's house and all that shit, he should have fucking pulled up on a school, but he never did. He became a fucking bank robber. So, I mean, I don't fucking know. I don't know what... I just love him, and I want him to stay. And I keep him coming, calling in just to let you guys know we're going to fucking keep this kid out. And that's it. That's just the decision I made, and I hope you're all right with it, cocksucker. I love you, Lee. You're a good man.
No, no, it's... And it's hard, because when you talk like that, it scares me, and it doesn't... But I don't want to come off like when I ask questions, I don't want to come off like I'm judging, because I'm not. It's just... It's like... It's almost like a different language, because like I've stolen things from stores and stuff, but talking about a dick getting hard because you're going to go rob a drug dealer, I'm like, oh, Jesus, I was sitting at home, and I was playing poker with friends, or I was fucking just watching cartoons, and it's like a different language.
Lee, almost. It's nothing I'm proud of, but at that time, what was I going to do? I remember being bad, going to Colorado, getting my life halfway together, you know, going to prison, getting married, starting comedy, trying to get my daughter back, and I was in that cusp, in that mind cusp. I'm going to be a comedian. I got to keep a day job for a while. And then I went back to New York to get my mind back and my heart and my balls after the divorce. I was lost. And I went back, and I hooked up with my friend Rego. Rega was a 24-hour hustler like me.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a job, and I remember getting in the car, going to do shit with him, and feeling like, what the fuck am I doing? But in the back of my heart, I always felt like I was a piece of shit anyway. I had no self-confidence. I had nothing. So, I don't know. And I'm happy I got comedy. I'm happy I got something else to take me off that. Because I was still a criminal with comedy up to like 98 and 99. I was still getting in trouble. I was still doing fucked up things. But the comedy store had straightened me out. But yeah, Lee, to get in the car and knowing that you're going to go fucking put a gun out or kick a door down, it's, you know, I think of my open mic career. I used to, another thing that people don't know about me, in New York, up in Harlem and shit like that, up in 178th and all those areas, in the early 90s or whatever, I found that from a junkie friend of mine, that if you they bought aspirins and they bought a yeast infection medication, and they paid top dollar for it in Harlem. So if you ever got bumped into a cases of that, or you robbed a truck and it had medical stuff like that you buy at a pharmacy, that all those pharmacies on 178th Street bought yeast medication and aspirins, Tylenol, PM.
They couldn't just buy it from a distributor?
They did, but they'd rather buy it if you had it hot. It's like if I come to you right now with a fucking Apple computer and I go, every month I got Apples, dog. The 800 new, I got them for $4. You're going to buy them from me.
Okay.
Okay? So, especially if you're a wholesaler, a retailer. So, I used to go to fucking Fort Lee dressed in a suit when I sold cars and I was a comedian. My first open mics were like at Stand Up New York and New York Comedy Club and the Downtown Comedy Club. This is 90 fucking three, guys. You know, and I'd see Chappelle on stage and Nick DiPaolo and Felicia Michaels. But in the daytime, I would wake up. I lived with George. And I would wake up and I had a bag, a black suitcase that looked like I was a businessman. I was no businessman. I'd go into Fort Lee, into that mall. I'd walk like a mile with hunger. No breakfast, no fucking lunch. It was toothpaste and fucking Listerine. That's it. And I'd put my suit on. I'd walk, you know, whatever it was, 3/4 of a mile to Fort Lee. I'd go into that, whatever that supermarket was that had great lobster bisque soup on Fridays. And the security wouldn't come on till like 8. It'd be like 6:30. And I would go to the things, and then on top, they would have the full cases of the aspirin and the yeast infection medication. And I would put cases in this suitcase. And I would have like 60 cents for a coffee, and I'd buy a coffee and walk out with, you know, and I'd walk over the George Washington Bridge into 178 when the people were opening, and I'd sell them this and get like $50. $50. And I'd go buy a $20 bag of weed, and I'd eat a good breakfast, and I'd go sell cars. And then I would fucking go sell cars till like 9 o'clock. I joined a boxing gym on 42nd Street. It was like on 48th Street in Broadway. They had a locker for an extra $5. You got a locker, and I would put jeans in there that smelled like rotten ass from walking around the city, and a T-shirt, and I would switch my suit into a T-shirt and then take that clothes and take a bus or a train to go do comedy. And then at the end of the night, I would come back to the boxing gym, go back into a suit, go into Fort Lee, New Jersey, wash my shirt before I go to bed, then snort coke till 3 in the morning, sleep 3 hours, and then do the same thing all fucking over again.
I think that's why the people, and other people have said it, like, oh, you're making up your background. It's because these kids have spent their, like, they're on Twitter, and they've only done it in Grand Theft Auto. Just like that, like, that just sounds terrible to me.
It's a terrible living. I'm not ashamed. I'm not fucking embarrassed by it. I had to do it. The whole, but remember what kept me alive? Comedy. Do you follow me? The threat of this was that comedy was keeping me alive. I knew that that would stop because I knew that the more I got on stage, the funnier I would get. And it took fucking 20 years. But my point was correct. It took 3 or 4 years to get off the crime. But my point was correct. The comedy fueled me. You know, sometimes you're doing a job and you're putting a toilet and you're fucking unhooking the toilet and you can smell people's piss and whatever. And as you move in the fucking toilet, you think to yourself, I really want to quit, but what else would I do? But if you did comedy, or if you were an editor, or if you had a dream, taking that toilet would be a lot easier because you know that the end was coming.
Mm-hmm.
The end is coming. I don't have to do this shit no more. You know, so that's the difference, is that towards the end, I knew that the more I got on stage, the funnier I would get. But that's the price I paid, Lee, you know? I had a fucking job making. At that time, I had to come up with child support and 2 fucking rents.
Oh, geez. Oh, yeah, for your wife and, okay.
I was coming up with Boulder's rent. No, where I was living. Plus, I was helping George's grandma. Plus, I was snorting my addiction. And I was delivering, you know, I always had a fucking angle. Like on Saturdays, like if I had a day off in those days and I was a con, I was 30-something years old. If I had the fucking day off, I would work at Ashway's and fucking deliver sandwiches or do caterings for that motherfucker for no money. You know, so I know the price it pays. This wasn't just fucking easy. But I knew that no matter what I did, I know a lot of people are stuck in their fucking jobs today. And they're like, oh, this job sucks. I wish I was in California smoking dope. You know what? This job, I can make it easier for you by having a fucking dream. That's the only way I can make that easier, by knowing that this, I'm not going to be doing this when I'm fucking 50. When I'm 29 or when I'm 38 or when I'm 45, I'm going to be in Michigan or in Chicago doing comedy. And then a year later, I'm going to be in fucking California. That's all I know. That's how I fucking measure this. You know, that this is going to end someday. And there's shit you can't plan for. Like my daughter, you can't plan for that shit. What's going on, cocksucker? Get the reefer ready. It's Monday morning. A beautiful motherfucking day to be alive here. In Los Angeles, it's windy. I don't have much on the agenda today. What do you got going on, Lee? You said
just work.
I told Lee I was bringing over no more banana bread, Lee.
Oh, I got. Oh, fuck! On Wednesday we ate it, and I took 2 small pieces, and I got to work about an hour after the podcast ended, and I was stoned. Like I just sat in my office and did like for the first few hours, I couldn't even do anything. I was petrified, and in my head, I was like, "All right, if I get there." Because I got to work early, and I sat in my car in the garage, and I fell asleep in my car. And I was like, all right, if I get upstairs, I'll go into my office, and I'll be fine. Of course, I use an office that an editor uses, and I have to wait till they leave to go in. So I got there, and of course, that's the day he took half an hour to leave. So I was standing out in the hallway, freaking out, because I was stoned out of my mind, just waiting for someone to leave. And I was like, everyone knows. And when I got there, I saw in my rearview mirror that my eyes were like slits. I had to go into the bathroom and splash water on my face and force myself to, like, open my eyes. And, like, I had to think about it. Like, open your eyes, open your eyes, open your eyes, open your eyes. Fuck.
I'm going to give you a breather. No more banana bread for a while. Maybe next week.
Maybe next week. That's quite a breather.
Maybe next week after Columbus, after the Super Bowl and shit, we'll get you back. No, I'm done with that shit for a while, too. I told you. I used to get the fucking loaf, bro. You can't live like that. You can't live like a shut-in. I was living like a shut-in. I was eating that, writing for 2 minutes and passing out. Then get up. I'd have to take a shower, comb my hair all over again. It's a fucking nightmare. I can't do it. I hope you motherfuckers are combing your hair, washing your balls. It's a big Monday. It's the biggest Monday of your fucking life. Get out there. Teabag somebody. I don't give a fuck what you got to do today. Make it good. Make it stick. Put some music on for me, Lee.
I gotta get some. I'm two steps ahead of you. Hold on.
Got no music. People supposed to be calling. Nobody's fucking calling. You're killing me, Lee. You know what I'm in Columbus Friday and Saturday. Four shows. Don't play fucking games, all right? I don't know what the number is. The number is 614-471-5653. The Columbus Phony Bunny Friday and Saturday. Then the next Thursday, the 7th, I'll be at the San Jose Improv. Don't forget about me. And while I'm at it, let me tell you something. I got sick on fucking Wednesday. You know, like I got started getting sick on Tuesday morning. So I went to acupuncture. And she cut me and she did the anti-flu thing. Then I went to the Nerdist with all those dirty fucking hippies down there with all those dirty nerds. And I got something in my throat. So I went home that night, I blasted. That's why I didn't go down. I had to work Thursday morning on a TV show. Thursday night, I didn't go down to the improv because I didn't want to get even sick. It was going to rain all fucking day. So I blasted some vitamin C. And I took some, you know, want me to tell you when the fucking flu really took a deep turn? I took a handful of Shroomtech, the immune. I took a handful of those fucking things. And I drank a can of fucking freshly squeezed pineapple juice that my buddy's got. This pineapple juice is delicious. Anyway, I drank that. I went to bed. I got up. I was fine. No more temperature. No more nothing. That shroom tech fucking works. And I should. Now I'm taking it every day. I took two this morning. Fuck it. Every day I'm taking that shit, especially during the thing. And that's why I started promoting it. I spoke to Aubrey about it. I met with one of the guys from Omnit, the president of Omnit, on Friday at a hotel. We talked in the afternoon. He was telling me, try that fucking shroom tech like 2 weeks ago. So I tell you what, if you're not doing nothing, prepare for the flu, because another flu's coming in, and they say the hand sanitizer don't work, and you'll be shitting blood and coughing and turning into a fucking zombie. So go on it right now, onit.com. Get yourself a strong bone. Get yourself the Hemp Force protein shake. And get yourself the immune or the new moon, or don't get the strong bone. If you're not a fat fuck like me and you're not running, don't get the strong bone, but get the new mood. The new mood fucking works too. I tell you what, man, I usually don't take a lot of shit like this. I used to just take multivitamins, like, you know, over the counter. And then my brother Eddie Bravo turned me onto a vitamin guy. Somebody call him?
Yeah, we got a call.
Oh, shit. What's the story?
Oh shit!
Right here with my main man, the Flying Jew, Lee Syatt. Who we got on the fucking phone? Who we got on the phone?
Stevie Simone. How are you?
Oh shit! Not Stevie Simone's. Philadelphia's Stevie Simone. Before Sylvester Stallone. You know what I'm saying? The Simones were there before the fucking Stallones.
That's what I want to name my kid. If I ever have a boy, I want to name him Sylvester Simone.
I like that. Tell the people who the fuck you are and what you're doing, how long we've been running together.
Well, I'm a stand-up comic, and I met you back at the Comedy Store back in September of 2000.
When did we do the Dice Angry Bad Boy tour? Me, you, Bobby Lee, and Jim Norton. When did we do that?
That was probably right after September 11th.
Was it after September 11th or before September 11th?
No, it was after.
Wow.
It was after.
And that's because when we met the infamous RJ, who fucking hooked us up.
Yeah, dude, that guy was the greatest. Like, straight out of a movie. The best.
Tell him about RJ and what our adventures with RJ.
Oh, shit. Hold on a second, Joey. I set 5 alarms on my phone to wake up for you.
All right. I like it.
RJ was, He was a professional gambler that was killing it in Vegas. He was on the streak of a lifetime. And he was kind enough to, you know, give me $2,000 like it was nothing.
He gave me $3,000 one night, or $2,000. He gave us both $2,000. Then he gave us like another $1,000. We went to eat with him one night. And we didn't have to suck his dick, correct, Steve Simone? We didn't have to lick his balls or take pictures whacking off. This motherfucker.
Hang out and have laughs. That's all.
It was amazing. Remember, he fucking we used to do the show, and then he bought Dyson Escalade.
Yes. Yep. He had millions of dollars in chips on the table.
On the
millions.
Table. Remember, he took us to a Chinese place one night, and then we went to a place, and a security guard came with a gun and a little fucking thing of chips, and he played for like a half hour. He won $60,000. He gave us all like a grand. I was pissed because I couldn't get blow. Here I got a pocket full of money and no blow. What the fuck?
I just couldn't believe it. Like, I remember him letting me hold a chip. I was like, wow, $5,000. And he goes, look again, kid. And it was a $50,000 chip.
It was crazy. He had $3 million that time in the chips. He walked in, like the security guard came. He had his own personal private room where he took us. It was amazing. Both of us didn't have cars.
Nope.
I mean, it was just another fucking dimension of life, man. We came back like, wow, you're not going to believe this. This guy gave us $2,000, $3,000.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. It was, like, even now when I tell people that story, you can sort of tell they don't really believe it.
Remember he paid the guy $2,000 just to put his name on the fucking gazebo?
Yeah, on the billboard. Where it's a giant billboard said Dyson RJ. Outside of the casino.
And then he went to war with Dice. He went on Stern and said Dice was cheap.
I never knew any of that. What happened?
I don't know. He went on Stern and said Dice was a fuck. I don't even remember what happened. And he wanted me to go, and I said no. You know, I love Dice. You know, I remember one thing about that tour. And the one thing I remember is how much you and I love Dice. I mean, we fucking love Andrew. We love it. I was so lucky when Andrew called my house and said, you want to go to Vegas and do a couple shots? I mean, that, to me, meant more than the longest yard at the time. It was everything. It wasn't even about the money. It was just having Dice calling you at the house, asking you to go on. It was me, you, and Happy Face. And
yes. The coolest. Like, the one thing I still love about Andrew, I love the fact that, like, I grew up a big fan of his comedy, but, you know, he's like a family guy. Like, I couldn't believe, like, I would memorize his comedy albums, and then here I am going over to his house on a Sunday afternoon for a family barbecue back when his kids were small. It was crazy.
It was fuck. I remember taking his special and playing it at the halfway house New Year's Eve, and people had no fucking idea, and here we were hanging out with him in his suite drinking cranberry juice, listening to stories. It was just fucking mind-boggling, man. And
remember he had the Sinatra suite.
Yes.
It was like 3 levels, old school Vegas. That was the craziest thing in the world. They were like, yeah, this suite was built for Frank Sinatra. I was like, oh my God, what am I doing here? I took the bus. I remember taking the bus to Andrew's house. And then a limo picking us up and driving us to the airport. I'm going, what the hell's wrong with my life?
Remember he had a house in Vegas at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, yeah, he used to have a house in Vegas at the time. That, Simone, you're still at the store. You're still making it happen. We're going to work together in Brea on February 28th or March 2nd. You're on the bill with me with D'Agostino Zoida.
Thank you. So that's going to be so much fun.
And, you know, like I said, I've known you for a long time. I haven't watched you, but I hear nothing but good things. I know that Dan at the Improv loves you. And you're in the same limbo I had 10 years ago. You can headline, but not enough credits to fucking headline, and blah, blah, right, blah, 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 blah. So we're going to get you on the fucking board. You're a funny guy and a loyal, badass Philly. Remember when you gave me the thing of cookies from Philadelphia? Yep. I ate those things for fucking a month. I gained 18 pounds. I was cursing you.
Termini's cookies. Some of the best Italian cookies.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I've known Steve Simone for a long fucking time. And it was great. You came by the other night, and we bumped into each other at the Sherman Oaks Rouse.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Saturday. That was one. I can't thank you enough for that. Like, that sense of, I live for that shit. Like, that sense of family and just running into you. You're like, let's cook some steaks. It was delicious. I got to see the baby. I got to see Terry.
Yeah, just great. Like that. We just bumped into each other. I was at Rouse. My wife was like, the baby, if you're going to, whatever. And I went somewhere, and I went to Rouse. I go, let me go to Rouse and get the salad. We didn't have the shit to make the salad. We were going to make a great arugula salad. And she goes, I'll go to Rouse tomorrow. I'm like, fuck it. I'll just go to Rouse. It was 3 o'clock. What do I give a fuck? I'm dying to do something. And all of a sudden, I hear somebody go, oh, shit, as I'm walking into Rouse. And that's the Jewish Rouse. In Sherman Oaks, that's where you see the Jews with the hamakas and shit, the yarmulkes. Badass. And one came up to me. He knew who Lee was about a week and a half ago. Me and my wife were in there. And the guy's like, man, I love you and the Flying Jew. And he had a little yarmulke on. He left, came back with a camera, and made the Rouse people take a picture of me and him with a camera. I told him, you got, we're going to give you a shout out. So he's a little Flying Jew from Sherman Oaks and shit. But that's a good Rouse up there in Sherman Oaks. Remember the butcher helped us? He taught us how to marinate the steaks and everything.
Yeah, the best. And you remember that really heavy guy that was telling us the steaks that he liked?
Yeah.
Everybody was being friendly that day.
We had a good time. Then we went back to the house. We marinated the steaks. We watched the UFC, and the baby watched the whole fucking time. She didn't say a boo. She just sat there like a soldier.
Unbelievable. She's adorable.
How big was that joint I had outside?
It looked like a movie prop. It didn't even look real. It looked like something from like a Cheech and Chong movie.
I totally. This guy gave me that joint Friday night at Flappers. It was the size of a black fucking dick. That's what it looked like. It's Monday, cocksuckers. What do you got on? What do you got going on, Steve Simone?
Dude, I just feel like a winner waking up this early to call into your show. Now that I'm awake, I'm going to take this momentum. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to get some writing done. I'm going to swing by the store tonight. It's going to be a good week.
Call me at lunchtime. I'll be around.
Yeah, and that would be fantastic. Maybe I'll make chicken cutlets or something.
All right, do something. And maybe you can stop by the studio and meet Lee and hook up with Lee, and we'll fuck around over here. Lee loves you, too. Say hello, cocksucker.
Hey, Steve.
What's up, Lee? All right, yeah, I'll give you guys a call around lunchtime.
All right, give me a call. We'll wake Lee up by that time. We'll get him all fucked up.
Fantastic. You guys are right around the corner. All right, Joey.
I love you, Steve Simone.
Lee,
have a great day.
Care.
Stay black,
and,
baby. Love you.
All right, well, I saw you hung up.
No, no, fuck that shit. Another fun-filled motherfucking Monday on the church of what's happening now. Like I was telling you, get some new mood. You get a little, what was the other one we were talking about, cocksucker?
Shroom Tech Immune.
Shroom Tech, and get that flu, because the newer flu is coming.
Oh, shit.
Go to onnit.com, go to the box, and when you order on the checkout, press church or Mad Flavor. I don't know which one it is.
It's church.
It's church. C-H-U-R-C-H. Get to it. It's Valentine's Day. You can get them out. And then next week, we're going to start having Cherry's Berries on this motherfucker for all you stoners. Let me tell you something. Cherry's Berries comes right to your fucking house in a box. They sell like 12 or 13 chocolate covered fucking strawberries, whatever you desire. You understand me? You smoke your number, you wash your pussy, you get on the couch, you throw in Sons of Anarchy season 2, and you sit there, you scratch your fucking nuts, and you eat chocolate covered strawberries. Who's better than you?
If I like when you open those, you think you're gonna have one or two. I'm so stoned right now. If I had those, I would have the entire.
No. Everybody on this K-load, and listen, I think they're like 3 points with the chocolate. So if you eat two of them, you just got to do an extra fucking half hour cardio, all right? Nobody fucking dies here. Go to onnit.com. Go to onnit today. You want to have even your chick. It's Valentine's Day. She's going to yoga. I got stiffness in my back. I don't want to suck your dick because my knee hurts. You give them two fucking onnits. It's all over there. Limber. You can pick them up by the fucking hair. Everything's beautiful. You understand me? A little new mood for yourself with the tryptophan and all the shit in there. And switch it up with the strong bone immune, all the strong bone sport.
Shroom Tech.
Shroom Tech, I'm sorry, is it Shroom Tech Immune and the sport. Yeah. Go with the immune during the fucking busy flu season. You won't be sorry. I'm here. I'm doing jumping jacks. I'm going to the gym today. I'm smoking dope with Lisa Ayat. It's a beautiful day to be alive. I'll be in Columbus February 1st and 2nd, 614-471-5653. Jill Himitsu's got the fucking webpage up over at Death Squad Connecticut. I'm with you, motherfuckers. I love all you cocksuckers. Testicle Testaments 4 is still on. We'll be at the Ice House. We're going to have a special live church of what's happening now. Taping me, Lee Syatt, in March sometime at the Ice House. So shit's going on. Shit's going to happen. We're going to tape a special. We're doing a lot of fucking things. I'm coming to your town. I'm coming to Lexington, Kentucky. I'm coming to fucking... I'm coming, all right? Stop fucking bugging me. I'm coming. I got saliva all over my face. I'm going to go home. I got to stop and get eggs from my wife. I love you, cocksuckers. Have a great day. We'll be back Wednesday with some great fucking guests. I think I'm going to have my doctor call up and talk about sleep apnea and break it down.
Oh, cool.
Because a lot of people have been hitting me up about sleep apnea. I love you guys. Have a great week. What do you got for me, Lee?
Do you like Taking All Too Hard by Genesis? Is that a good one? I've never heard it.
I want you to play something that's funky to send them off, and you hit me with something that's unknown.
You said Genesis. I don't know.
But Genesis, I just said that for these guys. Hit me something funky. Get me something with some funk. Now you're in a bind that you want to hit me with Genesis.
Yeah, I don't know.
How about fucking, just go back to fucking Peter Gabriel. Go back, cocksucker.
All right. Do you want to do a different song or same song?
Same song.
All right.
I mean, we had Biggie Hypnotize. You want to go with Hypnotize? Kick
sure.
It. Go ahead. There you go.
I'm trying to mix it up. I'm trying to mix
it up. It's Monday. Man. Why are you fucking up flow for?
I'm not fucking up flow. I'm trying to mix it
Who
up.
Who loves man. You, Lee? Lee Syed at Twitter, The Flying Jew, Joey Coco Diaz. Have a great day, man. I love you guys. Thank you for watching. Come on. Wiggle, Lee. Let me see if Uncle Joey. Give me one good wiggle. Oh, E. Ooh. Ah. E. Dead right, if the hand right, Biggie there, and I Papa been fooled since days of under rules. Never lose, never choose to. Bruce Cruz who do something to us. Talk go through us. Girls want to us, wanna do us, screw us, who us? Yeah, Papa and Pop. Close like Starsky and Hutch, stick to clutch. Yeah, I squeeze three at your cherry M3. Bang every MC easily. Take that. Recently, niggas frontin' ain't saying nothing, so I just speak my piece.